forgive me. I was deep in despair, had no peace within. I surrendered my whole unto Jesus the Savior. Then the glory came down, I was saved from sin. Wonderful joy I was given within when the Savior in love saved me from all sin. I will praise his dear name for the wonderful victory and the joy in my heart all along the way. I am longing to see heaven's glorious city and to hear the Lord call, come and live for him. Oh, the glory did roll, I was happy and free. I had heard a sweet voice speaking pardon to me. Such a wonderful joy I was given within when the Savior in love freed me from all sin. I have found a friend in Jesus. He's everything to me. He's the fairest of a thousand to my soul. All I need to cleanse and make me fully whole. In sorrow he's my comfort, in trouble he's my stay. He tells me every care on him to roll. He's the lily of the valley, the bright and morning star. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. He all my grief has taken and all my sorrows borne. In temptation he's my strong and mighty tie. I have all for him forsaken and all my idols torn from my heart, and now he keeps me by his part. Oh, the world forsake me and Satan take me so. Through Jesus I shall safely reach the goal. He's the lily of the valley, the bright and morning star. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. He will never, never leave me, nor yet forsake me here. While I live by faith and do his blessed will. Oh, all the fire about me, I've nothing now to fear. With his manna he my hungry soul shall fill. Then sweeping up to glory, the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. Oh, what a wonderful, wonderful day, day I will never forget. After I wandered in darkness away, Jesus my Savior I met. Oh, what a tender, compassionate friend, he met the need of my heart. Shadows dispelling, what joy I am telling, he made all the darkness depart. Heaven came down and glory filled my soul. When at the cross the Savior made me whole. My sins were washed away and my night was turned to day. Heaven came down and glory filled my soul. Now I will hope that will surely endure. After the passing of time, I have a future in heaven for sure, there in those mansions sublime. And it's because of that wonderful day, when at the cross I believe, riches eternal and blessings supernal from his precious hand I receive. Heaven came down and glory filled my my soul. When at the cross the Savior made me whole, my sins were washed away, and my night was turned to day. Heaven came down and glory filled my soul. Oh, my tomorrows, oh, my past. Jesus is Lord alone. I've quit my struggles, content but at last. Jesus is Lord of all. King of kings, Lord of lords. Jesus is Lord of all. All my possessions and all my life, Jesus is Lord of all.
Well, it's good to see everybody out tonight on this hot, windy summer evening, and I'll give you some updates about camp and all that stuff in a few minutes, but let's go to the Lord in prayer, get things started. And I tell you what, Randy Roberts, would you lead us in a word of prayer, please? Be seated.
Tempted and tried, well, of me to wonder why it should be thus all the day long, while there are others living about, never molested, though in the wrong. Father alone will know all about it. Father alone will understand why. Cheer up, my brother, live in the sunshine. We'll understand it all by and by. When death has come and taken our loved ones, it leaves our home so lonely and dreary. Then do we wonder while others prosper, living so wicked year after year? Father alone will know all about it. Father alone will understand why. Cheer up, my brother, live in the sunshine. We'll understand it all by and by. His name is wonderful. His name is wonderful.
Announcements that I want to make. On July the 28th, which is the Sunday before July 4th, the choir will be putting on a big July 4th cantata, and I'm looking forward to July the 4th, 250 years of America, and it's something to be proud of. We live in the greatest nation on the face of the earth. It's not perfect, but I'm telling you, it's the best that there is. And I'm glad to be an American, and I look forward to that celebration weekend. And then a couple of Sundays from, or one Sunday from this Sunday, June the 21st, to be Father's Day. We'll recognize all of our fathers. Brother Chris probably preach a Father's Day message. And where would we be without good men in this world? Amen. Yeah, man. Come on. Yeah. but we'll be celebrating Father's Day on June the 21st. Talk to CJ every day this week. She says everything's going well at camp. If you have a Facebook account and you are on, if you'll go to, she every day is posted 30, 40, 50 pictures, and then I just share them. If you're not friends with her, I share them on our Facebook account. So you can go to our Bible Baptist Facebook and watch or see a lot of those pictures. And she says they're having a wonderful time swimming, and said the preaching's good, the devotion's good, and so they're just having an exceptional time. Be much in prayer for them tonight. We'll have a service tomorrow night. Will be the final service, and then on Friday morning, they'll be getting up early and heading home. And just pray for their traveling mercies. All right. If there's any kids that are with their pennies, y'all can be dismissed. And Penny is taking care of the kids. Nobody? All right. Everybody else stay in here. All right. Well, let's get out our prayer list. And we will go over this prayer list tonight. And then Brother Stacy is going to come and preach for us.
All right, I think I have that on, Brother David. I hope you hear me. Good. I'm going to mess it up here. Well, if you have your Bibles, if you would turn with me to the book of Daniel, Daniel chapter 3. Daniel chapter 3. While you're finding that, Daniel chapter 3, let me just give an update concerning my son. Many of y'all pray for him, and boy, he's so thankful for that. We are, his mom and dad, me and the mom, we're so thankful for y'all prayers for him. And he has started his third internship. He's in Fulton, Missouri, at Bible Baptist Church, serving this summer an internship there. And he is just really just having a tremendous time, and the preacher there and the people that we've got to through Texas and looking at their live stream stuff, we've got to acquainted with them in some ways that way, and they seem to be some just fantastic people, and they're just really invested in his life. So we're so thankful for that. And there's a blessing happening tonight. Bryce is he's going to be 24 tomorrow night. Tomorrow night will be his birthday, but tonight will be the first time that he's preaching as I'm a preaching. You know, I have my sons are preaching in Fulton, Missouri tonight. He's the preacher is giving him the Wednesday nights services down there at Fulton for this summer, and he's bringing the message down there, and I have this opportunity tonight to be here, you know. So that's just a special blessing to me to know that God's called my son into the ministry like that, and it just means a lot there, and it's something to the Lord. I know I told you to turn to the book of Daniel, so just hope we'll be there in a little bit. I got the privilege to go down to the Ironman conference this year. I love going to that conference down in Willow Park with our men. And this year was just an exceptionally good one. It just really, the messages, the preachers, and just all that was done, it just, at least for me, it tuned into my heart in a major way. And there was this one particular message that a preacher named C.T. Townsend, he brought, and he used a reference out of Daniel chapter 3. And Daniel chapter 3, it's the account of the fiery furnace, of the children in the fiery furnace. And so a children church pastor and a children church worker for going on, I guess, 40-some-odd years now, I have taught lessons and preached lessons and Sunday school classes out of that chapter more times than I can count, more times than I can remember. You know, I know I have. But he did an angle, and he brought something out in that his talk and that message that I'd never, you know, had realized or thought about. And I just love that about the Bible, how it's such a living book. You know, it's not a bunch of ancient stories with spider webs hanging on them and stuff that you can read that was written thousands of years ago. And it's not that, is it? It's a living, breathing, It's a current to today book. A current today book that was written by so many different authors and put together, and now then we have it today and what it does for us. You know, what an amazing, you know, the thing it is, and how we can study, read, go on it, and never come to a fully understanding to the whole facts of it, you know. So I hope when we get to it today, like I say, we're going to be there shortly. I want to be talking on this subject. Jesus walks and he carries me and you through the fires of this life. Amen. We get saved, we trust the Lord as our Savior, and hope evangelistic. We tell people the message, I need in Jesus to be our Savior. So we get saved, but too many people had the thought of that salvation as being, you're saved, so someday you're going to go to heaven. You know, you accept him in your heart to be your Savior, and someday he's got a home preparing, and we're going to be in heaven. But, you know, we cheat ourselves. We cheat ourselves so much of what God has done when we look at salvation and we look at the fact that he's preparing a place in heaven for us, when we fail to concentrate on things and realize that he wants to do it down here. He wants to be with us and walking with us and carrying us and us depending on him down here. And I just believe with all my heart that there's a relationship that we can have with our Savior down here in our fleshly body right now that we're not going to be, if we messed it down here, we don't have that experience in our glorified body in heaven. Like I believe right now with all my heart, I believe the angels are there, God created those angels. They probably look down and they probably think, what is wrong with those people? You know, what is wrong with those people and stuff? And in fact, they have no clue and no thought about the relationship that the Lord wants us to have with him now. They are down here right now. So let me before we get to Daniel, let me read three scriptures just as a launching point to get to the reading. In 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 12, you don't have to turn there, just stay at Daniel chapter 3. But it says, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. So it plainly states to me there that if when I get saved and I trust the Lord, that if I try to live my life godly and letting him lead me, he says I'm going to suffer persecution. I'm living in a sin-cursed world. This world has been cursed by sin when the choice was made by Adam and Eve, and then the years went by. The curse is there, you know, the sin, and we live in that world, and he says you're going to suffer persecution. But it says in Hebrews 13, I love it, it is in 5 and 6, it says, let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. For he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what men shall do unto me. Amen. You know, one of the most, I know that it says that he's going to be my helper and don't fear and he never forsaken me, but I think one of the most important things about that verse is he says, be content with such as you have. Be content. One of the biggest things that the devil and this world and the philosophy of this world is trying to push that we have to strive to attain. We have to always be trying to say, oh, we got to be better at this, or have more than this. And that constant seeking of things like that is what I think drains a lot down under this world. It's just having the Lord and realizing that, hey, he's there for me. And then one other verse, and we'll get to our reading, is Isaiah 43. By the way, you see me moving all these things around? My mom got this 7-volume thing. It's the King James Bible. It's in 7 volumes, the 66 books of the Bible, and it stayed in storage for years. My mom had ordered it, she got it in, and just shortly after she got it, she came down with her early set Alzheimer's that hit her, and just shortly after getting it in, I can only remember thoughts about maybe 2 or 3 times her ever even opening up to it. Okay, and I put it in, it got put to me, and I put it off in storage, and here, boy, last year, I came across to it. And I've been using this thing. It's giant print. It's the big giant print. Take those 7 volumes. I said, man, I must be getting old. But it's just in several volumes and popping around. I'll probably get confused on it here. But Isaiah 43 verse 2 says this. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. and through the river, thou shalt not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. Now let's read our familiar story, and I want to bring it out and show you what Brother C.D. Towns and at least what blessed me so much. Daniel chapter 3. Nebuchadnezzar the king made an image of gold, whose height was 60 cubits and the breadth thereof 6 cubits. He sat in the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king sent together the prince and the governors and the captains and the judges, the treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs, and all the rulers of the province to come to the decoration of the image which Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. Then the princes and the governors and the captains and the judges, the treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs, and all the rulers of the province were gathered together unto the dedication of the image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. And they stood before the image that Nebuchadnezzar had set up. Then a herald cried aloud to you, "It is commanded, O people, nations, and languages, that at what time you hear the sound of the cornet, the flute, the harp, the sackbut, the psaltery, the dulcimer, and all kinds of music, you shall fall down and worship the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king has set up. And whoso falleth not down and worship shall the same hour be cast into the midst of a burning fiery furnace." Therefore, at the time when all the people heard the sound of the cornet, the flute, the harp, the sackbut, the psaltery, and all kinds of music, all the people, the nations, and the languages fell down, and they worshipped the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. Wherefore, at the time, certain Chaldeans came near, and they accused the Jews. They spake, and they said to the king Nebuchadnezzar, "O king, live forever. Thou, O king, hast made a decree that every man that shall hear the sound of the cornet, the flute, the harp, the sackbut, the psaltery, and all the dulcimer, and all kind of music shall fall down and worship the golden image." Before I read verse 11, I had circled here, that maybe through saying all those descriptions of the instruments, I had circled all kinds of musics, and I was trying to debate, okay, maybe I'll just read and just skip all the saying all that thing and go say all kinds of music. But then I said, man, the Lord, he's got those in there, and man, they're in there for that reason. Even if my tongue slammers over them, they're in there for that purpose. So we're reading them. "And whoso falleth not down and worship, that he should be cast into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. There are certain Jews whom thou hast set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have not regarded thee. They serve not the gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up." Then Nebuchadnezzar, in his rage and fury, commanded to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Then they were brought, these three men, before the king. Nebuchadnezzar spake and said unto them, "Is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Do not you serve my gods, nor worship the golden image which I have set up? Now if you be ready, that at what time you hear the sound of the cornet, the flute, the harp, the sackbut, the psaltery, and the dulcimer, and all kind of music, you shall fall down and worship the image which I have made, well. But if you worship not, you shall be cast the same hour into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands?" Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, "O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thy hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up." Then was Nebuchadnezzar full of fury, and the form of his vengeance was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Therefore he spake and commanded that they should heat the furnace one 7 times more than it was to be heated. And he commanded that the most mighty men that were in the army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and to cast them into the burning fiery furnace. Then these men were bound in their clothes, their hosiery, and their hats, and the other garments, and were cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Therefore, because the king's commandment was urgent and the furnace exceedingly hot, the flame of the fire slew those men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down bound into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Now, right here, I want to show them. Brother Townsend, he said this to us, and I kind of relate to this. He says his family, his wife and his kids, they kind of made fun of him because when he's studying, he says he has a real habit of talking to his Bible, just talking to it. He says he gets in the stories and he starts saying, What did you do here? What's happening here? What was said here? And he says he gets all involved and all engrossed in the happening of the Bible. And I can relate in that I try to put myself, I try to imagine myself in stories and thinking about stuff and what's happened with reading the Bible and try to place myself in the midst of them. And I mean, it can be intense sometimes in doing it. And what Brother C.D. said he did here, he said, in reading here, he said he stepped over Nebuchadnezzar, said the man was thrown in the fire. They were bound up by the mighty man, bound up. As they're thrown in the fire is so hot, it burns up, you know, those mighty men that threw them in and bound them up. It burns and consumes them up. But now then, they've been cast into this fire. And Nebuchadnezzar, he's about to lean forward and look in. And see, Brother Townsend was standing there. He goes, I put myself there, and I looked down, and I looked, and I could see that from reading it, they're in now. They're no longer bound. They're bound. They've been bound by these mighty men. They're loose and they're free. And now then, they're just there in the fire. And he said, I had this question came to my mind, and my question was this: Hey Shadrach, I see you're loose. You're free. You're no longer bound. Well, if you're free and you're not bound, why ain't you getting out of there? Why aren't you leaving that fire? What's keeping you, you know, in that fire? My question is, don't you want to get out of there? And I hadn't thought of this. He said, as I said that, he said, it's like Shadrach looked up to me, said, Brother C.T., don't you see who I'm walking around here with? Don't you see who's with me down here in this fire? And he said, you see, they were in the most best place to be. They're in that fire, but being there with the Lord Jesus Christ, being in the fire with Jesus. And you see, so many times in our life now, it's like people have the choice to take, I've got to get away from this. Lord, you got to get rid of me of this, and I've got to be apart from whatever struggle or whatever heartache is here. When I'm almost, I guess I'm, I always get it wrong, 68? I forget about it, my wife. 60, but 68 years old, of getting some years happening, and I can look back now and I can tell for some hard times, some hard situations and life and times, and I can look back and I can see that I was growing closer to the Lord and much gained much value from staying in the fire and being in the fire with the Lord. Amen. See, these guys could say, I'm going to run away. I'm going to get out of here. But if leaving the fire leaves Jesus behind, you're in a much worse shape. You're in a much worse condition if you try to take care of the struggle your own way. If you try to deal with whatever circumstance is in your own power and you leave Jesus out of the equation, you're much worse off. You're much better being in whatever struggle life is placing you and whatever fire it is if you do it with Jesus. If you trusted Him, depending on Him, you'll be so much better. And that's what I said. I just never had thought about reading on that. I never thought about that thought of that question, that thought of these guys bound free. I mean, I've heard and I've said about how like they were celebrating, having a party down there in the midst of the fire. And I've heard many other thoughts and talks about it. But just the thought about you're no longer bound. You're no longer tied to this fire, to this trial. You're free of that. Why ain't you leaving it? Why ain't you getting away? That thought had never hit me so hard as it did then. Oh, man, I see you. They were in the best spot they could be, right there in the midst of their trial, in the midst of the fire, but with the Lord Jesus right there with them. And I think it's so true in our lives today. Only one other verse from God's Word, and then I want to read you a poem that I just love. Boy, a poem I found years ago in a Sword of the Lord magazine that I used to love getting down for the years, and I found this poem years ago, and it just, I think, so fitting for this thought of Jesus walking and carrying us through fires. But Isaiah 46 and verse 4. 46 and verse 4. It says, "And even to your old," I mean, it says, "And even to your old age, I am He. And even to the hoar hair, the hoar hairs will I carry you. I have made and I will bear. Even I will carry and I will deliver you." Man, listen to this poem. You probably heard it before. It's called Footprints in the Sand. "One night I had a dream. I dreamed I was walking along the beach with the Lord. And across the skies flashed scenes from my life. For each scene I noticed that two sets of footprints were in the sand. One belonged to me and the other belonged to the Lord. When the last scenes of my life flashed before me, I looked back at the footprints in the sand. I noticed that many times along the path of my life, there were only one set of footprints. I also noticed that it happened at the very lowest and the saddest times in my life. This really bothered me, and I questioned the Lord about it. Lord, you said that once I decided to follow you, you would walk with me all the way. But I have noticed that during the most troublesome times in my life, there's only one set of footprints. I don't understand why in the times when I needed you the most, you should leave me." The Lord replied, "My precious, precious child, I love you, and I would never, never leave you during the times of trial and sufferings. When you saw only one set of footprints, it was then that I carried you." I think that is so true. You know, and looking back in my lifetime, stuff that's so true about our Lord. We're going to have trials. You know, it's a false doctrine, a lie from Satan that says, "Boy, you get saved, and boy, then you're just going to, things are going to be a bed of roses. You're going to, if you do good and live for the Lord, and then you'll never face any trials or troubles." There's a philosophy that's been taught for the years about that, and that is not about as false as there can be. The Bible makes it clear we're going to have the trials, but that's where we gain the closeness, and the special relationship that we can have now is in those times when we let the Lord, when we go through them with Him, and He carries us. Would you pray with me? Dear Lord, thank you for this time, this opportunity to open up Your Word and look into it. Thank you for, first of all, just the Lord Jesus, You're being willing to come and do what you did, Lord, on that cross, leaving everything in heaven behind and coming and dying and doing what we could never do, taking care of the sin question forever, Lord, forever settled as we place our trust to Thee. But Lord, I thank You even further that you seek and desire even now, Lord, a close relationship that we can have with You and trust in You and living our life, Lord, here. Through these eyes of faith, through eyes of trusting Your Word and trusting what You are, and using that special time to just relate to You and love You, and thank You for that. Thank You, Lord. I can honestly look back and I can thank You for trials and for the heartaches and fires that I've endured thus far, and that, Lord, I know maybe someday, I mean, still ahead more would be ahead, but yet, Lord, I can look and say it's those times that I've drawn closer to You. You really have been so strong to me. And Lord, I thank You. I thank You for just all Your care and love. And someday, Lord, I know we all reunite and rejoice and be in heaven, and we'll be forever glorified with Thee. But Lord, I'm thankful for now, and I'm thankful for what You do now, Lord, in our day-to-day and how You guide and direct us. And so just be with us, Lord. Help us and help us to learn in a strong way. So we just depend on Thee, Lord. We pray these things in Your holy name. Amen. 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 You're dismissed, sir.